Well, God bless all here. Thank you for joining us. We sometimes play this little game in fellowship with the song selection to see if we can guess what the topic of the teaching is going to be. And if you guessed something about vision in the Bible, you would be correct. So this is titled Enlightened or Blinded. Today we'll look at God enlightening the eyes of his people and blinding the eyes of some others. And we'll start in Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And we'll go to verse 11. Exodus 4, verse 11. Give everybody a chance to get there. And Exodus 4, verse 11 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Moses, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" The International Standard Version translated this way. Then God asked him, "Moses, who gives a person a mouth? Who makes him unable to speak, or deaf, or able to see, or blind, or lame? Is it not I the Lord? God has the power to make people see beyond their five senses. And he has the power to make people blinded as well, according to his purpose." Okay? Let's look at Genesis chapter 21. Going to see God open someone's eyes here in this record. Genesis 21 and in verse 1. Okay? There we go. Are you there, Laura?
What verse?
Verse 1. Genesis 21, verse 1. Mm-hmm. "And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived, and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac." And now skip down to verse 9. "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she, Hagar, had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Abraham also had a son with Hagar the Egyptian." And in verse 10, "Wherefore she, Sarah, said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." He loves both of his sons. What's he supposed to do? Verse 12, "And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Verse 13, "And also, of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed." So, good for Isaac, good for the lad, good for Sarah, good for Hagar, and good for Abraham. Good for everybody. Okay? Verse 14, we're still in Genesis 21. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child on her shoulder, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba." Verse 15, "And the water was spent, was gone, in the bottle. And she laid down the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept." Verse 17, "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Verse 18, Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And then verse 19, And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. God opened Hagar's eyes. Amazing. And then let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, and then we're going to start in verse 7. Okay. There we are. Psalm 19, 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, the inexperienced, making wise the inexperienced. In verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God's word enlightens the eyes of our understanding. I wonder if we've heard that before. Well, we're going to see it again here in a little bit. Now we're going to come to a record of Syria trying to find Elisha. Okay, this is in 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings 6. We'll go to verse 8. Okay. Second Kings 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall my camp be. When the Bible says in such a place, it's not named, so it tries to conceal where it is to be kept secret. But, verse 9, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. The Syrians tried to keep this place a secret, but Elisha knew by revelation where this place would be, because God knew where this place would be. Okay? I'll just read Hebrews 4:13 out of the New International Version. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. God sees everything. And then back to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 10. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved himself there, not once nor twice. That means on several occasions. Then verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? That king of Syria wanted to see something, but he isn't seeing it, not yet. Verse 12, and one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. Telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. God hears every word that that king of Syria says. Verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him, seize him, capture him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God, Elisha, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Oh, no, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. Verse 16, but, and he, Elisha, answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Fear not, again and again. Don't be afraid. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So God answered Elisha's prayer and opened the eyes of his servant beyond his just five senses. He saw the Syrian army by revelation, beyond the Syrian army by revelation, to see horses and chariots of fire, the power and protection of God. Verse 18, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. God answered Elisha's prayer and landed the Syrian army. Not some of them, not most of them, all of them. And I'll just read this verse first in 1 Kings 8. Actually, it's just a couple pages over. Look at 1 Kings 8, verse 39.
1 Kings.
1 Kings. Oh, that's right. It is a few more pages away. 1 Kings chapter 8. And verse 39. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. God knows everyone. Okay? And then, sorry for making you jump around, back to 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll go to verse 19. And Elisha said unto them, the Syrian army, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. Dothan was about 10 miles north of Samaria, so the Syrian army is blind. They're following Elisha without being able to see where their steps are for 10 miles. Probably took a long time to get there. And then in verse 20, it says, and it came to pass when they were come into Samaria, and Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. God opened the eyes of the Syrian army, and they saw they were outnumbered and surrounded. Yikes. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And then verse 22, he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. The New English translation helps our understanding of what he's really saying here, Elisha, to the king of Israel. He replied, do not strike them down. You didn't capture them with your sword or bow, so what gives you the right to strike them down? Give them some food and water so they can eat and drink and then go back to their master. Then verse 23, and he prepared a great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Actually, the next verse in the chapter says Syria did actually return to besiege and attack Samaria, but it was a long time later. It was many years later. They keep doing the same thing, those Hittites and Jebusites and Syrianites. Anyway, this was a great act of mercy from God to Israel, and the outcome was the best. No one was slain on either side, and the Syrian army went home, left Samaria alone. They left Elisha alone. And more significantly, the Syrian army witnessed the power of the God of Israel. They saw it. Well, kind of. They didn't see it, and they saw it. This can remind us of the people responding to those 450 prophets of Baal, calling on their God to set fire to their sacrifice and getting no answer. And Elijah, drenching an altar to the Lord with water, saw God answer his prayer. And let's go ahead and look at this. 1 Kings chapter 18. A couple verses there. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38. Okay. You guys on your phone there, Brian?
Yep.
Right on. 1 Kings 18, 38. Mm-hmm. 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The people witnessed the power, witnessed God's power and believed. So, if I'm the Syrian army And the God of Israel just blinded me for a time and then opened my eyes. I would have wanted to worship the God of Israel, not whatever pagan god the Syrian king wants me to worship. I want to worship the God of Israel, just like the people who witnessed the fire from God consuming them, consuming that altar. And maybe some did. It was a big army. There could be more to the story, but we'll know that someday. Let's go into the New Testament to Matthew chapter 15. Jesus healed a lot of people. A lot of people. Matthew 15, verse 30. Okay. Matthew 15, verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him, Jesus, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch, verse 31, that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorify the God of Israel. Not everyone gets to see God's power and the miracles that he does. Blessed are those that believe that even haven't seen. But just the same, all these people are seeing, and they're convinced. So there are many records of Jesus healing people, in particular for our teaching today, opening the eyes of the blind, and more with the power of God. Once again, the multitudes witnessed the power of God, and they glorified him. You don't need to go there, but I'm going to read a verse from Acts chapter 9. This is Paul and Jesus blind to him on the road to Damascus. And in the International Standard Version of chapter 9, verse 8, when Saul got up off the ground, he couldn't see anything, even though his eyes were open. They were open, but he couldn't see. So his companions took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. How does he do that? Saul's eyes were open, but he couldn't see. Okay, well, it's because he's God, that's why. Let's look at another record here in verse and chapter 13 of Acts. Chapter 13, Acts. Then we'll go to verse 6. Acts 16, pardon me, Acts 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent, an intelligent, and understanding man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Verse 8, but Elymas, a.k.a. Bar-Jesus, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. The Amplified version of verse 8 amplifies it. But Elymas the wise man, for that is by the translation of his name which he had given himself, opposed them, seeking to keep the proconsul from accepting the faith. Bar-Jesus / Elymas named himself wise man. We probably see him as like a wise guy or a fool. Now watch what Paul does here. Acts 13, verse 9. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Verse 11, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Paul spoke with great boldness, And with the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul blinded this arrogant, evil sorcerer. And then verse 12, then the deputy, the proconsul, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. He saw the power of God. Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 3 and 4. I think you guys might know what this is. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And whom to them that are lost, perishing, the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the sorcerer tried to blind the eyes of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, to the gospel. Instead, the sorcerer was blinded. The proconsul witnessed the power of God. He heard the word, and he believed. Power of God. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Go to verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Okay. Ephesians 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding, your heart, being enlightened, that ye may know without doubt what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And look at the Amplified translation here. Verse 18, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. The word of God greatly enlightens, increasing our understanding of God's truth. Okay? And now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll look at some people who saw Jesus and kind of some people who didn't. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. There we are. And that he, Jesus, was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12. Verse 6. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of which the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, Paul, also as one born out of due time. Go to Acts chapter 10. And all the way down to verse 40. Acts chapter 10, verse 40. Acts chapter 10, verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly to be plainly seen. Verse 41. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us the apostles, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. We separate people from in the midst of other people, and some can see and some are blinded. The miracle. God allowed only the eyes of specific brethren to plainly see Jesus in his resurrected body. Jesus was among the brethren for 40 days after his resurrection, moving around here on earth. No one else saw Jesus during this time. That's amazing. Okay. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21 and then verse 1. There we go. In Revelation, God opened the eyes of John, big time. And I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the former heaven and the former earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. In verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. John saw. And then verse 23, we've looked at this before, but it's always nice to look at it. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city, New Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is a light thereof. And then look at Isaiah chapter 60. Back in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. Look at how similar this is. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The New English translation of Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. The sun will no longer supply light for you by day, nor will the moon's brightness shine on you. The Lord will be your permanent source of light. The splendor of your God will shine upon you. So God gave essentially the same revelation to both John in Revelation where he saw it, but he also gave it to Isaiah. He gave him the words to write. He told him what it was going to be. And so we'll close with this. The first recorded event of the second heaven and earth is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. What a way to start the second heaven and earth, okay? What a, I'm speechless trying to describe how great it's going to be in the third heaven and earth. But it's going to be very, very, very good. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share today, and we'll close in prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for revealing your power and your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your salvation for us. Thank you so much for your word, that it can enlighten the eyes of our understanding every time we look into it. So thank you for blessing all here and for blessing everyone online and for those that may watch this teaching in the future. In the name of Christ Jesus, we thank you. Amen. So, everybody, have a great week. Thank you for joining us. See you next time.